Kumlan in a black Gemara. We are up to the Tzadik Dalad Amid Aleph. Torah Bami learned. Now, this Gemara here is going to talk about certain things of astronomy and so on that I have no understanding. Every time I learn this Gemara, I have no understanding, so I'm not going to be much of help. I'll just tell you what it is. If you have pictures of the Gemara, that'll be a bigger help. Because in today's science, we don't exactly understand all of this. But anyway, we'll learn it as it is. Kabbalah so. Torah Bami learned. There are some ramifications in halacha, so I'll try to highlight them. If you were standing outside of Medim, what happened? You were standing outside of Medim, but if you would have gone by car, or by motorbike, you would have made it in time. If you go by foot, you're more than 50 kilometers away, you won't make it. And maybe you have an obligation to actually come in. It's in the pasuk. Uvederech lohaya. You were not on the road. A road of 15 kilometers. V'alohaya bederech. It says in the Torah, v'derech lohaya. When are you liable? If you were, you could have been on the road. You weren't. But this guy was bederech lachayke. You could have done something to make it quicker. It doesn't make a difference. The fact is, he falls under the Torah bederech. That bederech lohaya. He was too far away. And therefore, he is potter. He has no obligation to go and find a quicker method of getting there. And this is also what people talk about, you know, when they say, the Shilas Faket, when we say, you know, you have to travel 4 mil to go to a shul with a minyan, or if you travel 4 mil to washing, is it 4 mil, which is like 72 minutes, or is it 4 mil by car? And it's talking about distance. And they try to bring this Gemara here, sometimes L'chumra. So I want to bring L'chumra that we don't care about horses. It's 70, you know, it's a time, whatever it takes, if it takes a whole afternoon, and the 15 mil, so it's the time. And therefore, maybe you have to travel 72 minutes to find a shul with a minyan, and not just a distance. But anyway, what do you call it? Let's go to Gemara Vaita, yeah. Okay, so anyway, so you don't have no chiv to go find a quicker way to go. What about Hayim Lifnim and Amadim? He was standing inside Amadim. Let's say he was within 15 kilometers, but the Enyoch, and he took his whole family and kids with him. This is how Rashi learns. When Enyoch Lachanus, he couldn't enter, like Malim Bekrenus, he has his whole family with wagons and camels and everything else, Hamakus, and therefore it's delaying him, and he couldn't make it in time. But it's a problem of his own making, because he brought his whole family. Even though he's within the distance, but it's physically practical and impossible. The only excuse is if a derech lahayi, you were not within close proximity. You weren't far away, you were close. Go on your own, leave your kids behind. You have a chiyuv. So therefore, you would be chayiv. Says the Gemara, Rava says, Rava, this starts the Gemara now. She says, Alfi Parsi, Havi Alma. How big is the world? The world is 24,000 kilometers. Parsi, remember, is 4 kilometers. A mil is 2,000 amas. So the world is 6,000 parsa, 24,000. According to Rashi, we're talking about the orbit of the sun. And we're going from east to west. Is 24,000. The world actually is about 25,000 miles. And here it says 24,000 mil at the moment. So maybe, I don't know. But we'll soon see the Gemara concludes is something totally different anyway. The same Chadiriki, and the thickness of the heaven is Alpha Parsis, 1,000 Parsis, a sixth of that. Chadir Gemara, one of them he heard from his teacher, the Chadir Svarim, he just came on his own through a Svar. So he holds Chadir Rabbi Chadir Meyechin, and Kamala Beni B'yayim Habas, we just learned. How far does a person walk inside the Gimel? A day, 10 parsoi. A person can walk a day 40 kilometers or 40 mil. In the morning, till sunrise is 5 mil. Until Zechavim is 5 mil again. Nimtzer comes out. Oivav Shalurikia. Comes out. The thickness of the heaven is Echad Meshisha B'yayim. The thickness of the Rikia is a sixth of the day, right? If the day is 30, and you're telling me that it's a day, which is 12 hours, it's a sunrise, a sunset, and you're telling me that dawn until sunrise is 5 mil, which means that what? It's that that time, the duration is a fifth of a day, and what do you call it? It's a sixth of a day, five out of 30, so it's a sixth of a day, and the sun travels, so therefore that means the sun to travel from dawn until sunrise is traveling through this heaven or through the firmament as they call it, and therefore it travels 1,000 parsa. So that's the thickness of the Rikia. Makes us a question. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Over rekiya, how thick?" He says, "Rabbi Yehuda says, how thick is this rekiya? Echad ma'asar b'yayim, actually a tenth of the day." And what's his cheshbon? Teida, this is his raya. Kam al gadol b'yayim. How is a person walking a day? Esa pasoyes, 10 pasoyes. I agree, 10 pasoyes, 40 meal. But I hold my loisa shachar and neitzachama. My loisa shachar neitzachama is arbas meal, 4 meal. Meshkiz chavim neitzachavim, abed 4 meal. Nim says, "Over rekiya." So therefore, leaves the day 32. And I'm starting to count not from sunrise to sunset, I'm counting from dawn until the stars come out, which is a total of 40, and four meal is a tenth of the day. So it's only 4 meal, a tenth. And that's how thick the kirki is. Echem asar b'yayim. Tiyufta d'riyavah, tiyufta is a kasha. Tiyufta, taka kasha. Very important question of Tesis and all of the Goyim ask here. Rabbi Huda says here that it's 4 mil from Shkia until Tesis Gechavim. And we had the Gemara Shabbos, we said there, how long is twilight? We said that twilight is that from Shkia until the stars come out, he says, Ben HaShemashas is 3/4 of a mil. Only 3/4 of a mil. And here he says it's 4 mil. So we have two views. We have three views, but just mainly is two. The Goyim and Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam learns there are two shkias. There's a shkia, the first shkia, when the sun begins to set, but the bowl of the sun is still there. The sun begins to set behind the horizon. That, even though it's shkia, halachically has no bearing. And that goes for 3 1/4 mil. And then the last 3/4 of a mil, it's called shkia shnir, the second shkia, the second sunset, when the bowl of the sun is totally gone. And it's starting to get dark already, and that's the second shkia from there to Tzedekhavim is 3/4 of a meal. And that's why you always hear Rabbeinu Tam's time of Shabbos ending is much later than ours, and his time of Shabbos beginning is much later than ours. The Goyim say, no, there aren't two shkias, there are two Tzedekhavims. There's only one shkia when the sun begins to set behind the horizon. But the halacha Tzedekhavim is 3/4 of a meal after that. But you want to know when all the stars come out, because those are only like the mid-sized stars. When all the stars come out, it takes another 3 1/4 mil before you see all the stars, because the rays of the sun are still out there. That sort of, you know, impedes the lights from all these other, or obscures the lights from all of these other stars. So there's a second Tzedek HaChavim, but luckily it has no bearing. So that's what we follow. We follow the Goyim, so you have the Shkia we have, and then it should be 3/4 of a mil later. But because it depends on latitude and longitude and all that, that's why we have whatever we have today. And that's all based on this over here. And and also if you make the cheshbon, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's 32 mil. If you work out how long it takes to walk a mil, and you have 32 mil that it takes, remember, according to some of the days from sunrise till sunset. So if you have 32 mil, and you divide 32 mil, I'm just trying to work this out here, if you divide, so 32 times 60, is 1920 minutes, and divide that by, how do we do this again? 12 times 60 is 720, and you divide that by, we say it's 32 mil. Divide by 32 mil, that's 22.5. That's the opinion that says it's 22.5 minutes per mil. If you, and the other view says you divide by 40, so 32 times 60 equals 1920, and divide that by 40 equals, no good, I just did the wrong thing again, 12 times 60 equals 720, and divide that by 40 equals 18. So the other opinion says you divide, if a day starts from sunrise to sunset, it's 40 mil, and you divide that, you divide that by the 40 mil into 12 hours, you'll get 18 minutes, and the other one says that no, you look sunrise to sunset, so it's 32 mil. And you divide how long it take you take to walk a meal, in that 12 hours is 22.5 minutes. The other one said, if I remember correctly, that you look at 30 meal, the first opinion. So you take 720 and divide that by 30 and you get 24. Okay, that's the three opinions. Well, we have 18, 22.5 or 24. Okay, let's continue now. Now start the fun again. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yechon as well. There should be a question also on Rabbi Yechon as well. Could Rabbi Yechon have said that a person walked 10 pasoyes from the morning and 5 and 5? And here he said 4 to 4, Rabbi Yehuda. You know, you walk in the early morning. All I said was, person walks 40 kilometers a day, or 40 mil a day. But Abundant Kutub, and these rabbis made a mistake. The Kachashman, they thought, they looked at people and they walk from to work, let's say sunrise, to from dawn to sunrise. They didn't realize that people actually leave their home before dawn to get to work. And therefore, they take a walk 5 kilometers, but they just start in the night. Says Gemara, Lema, to have Divra Bechina, be a question of Chanin. Because the Chanina said he saw the distance from Sdoim to Troira, and it was 5 mil. And you're telling me that's only 4 mil. Loinova, Yitzhashina, it is different. They ran. So the time a normal person walks 4 mil, they hurried and they covered the ground of 5 mil. That doesn't change anything. Okay, Toshma, come here. So Rava said the world is 6,000 parsecs. Toshma, come in here. Rashi being generally two opinions. We're talking about the orbit of the sun, or we're talking about the circumference of the world. And Rashi doesn't like the circumference of the world. He thinks it's talking about the orbit of the sun. Toshba coming in. Mitzrayim have arba parsel. The area of Mitzrayim covered an area of 400 parsel, 1600 mil by 1600 mil. Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim is only echad meshishim bekush. It was a 60th of the size of Kush. Ethiopia, or the whole Africa, where others say Kush is Afghanistan, where the Kush mountains are today. The Kush is Echad Meshishim Be'olam, and Kush is a 60th the size of the world. The Olam is Echad Meshishim Be'gan, and the world is a 60th the size of the Gan. The Gan Echad Meshishim Be'Eden. Remember, it's a Nahar Yotzim Be'Eden, Yotzim Eden. There's a river that goes out of Eden. The Eden goes into the Gan, but the Eden itself is far bigger. So the Eden is much bigger. The Eden Echad Meshishim Gehenim, and Gehenim is far bigger than the Eden and the Gan. Nimtza comes out, Kola Olam Kula, the entire world, compared to a kikisik daily gehenna, compared to gehenna, it's made like a cover of a pot. It's nothing, insignificant. To Yufta is a question, so we see from here that it's far greater, that it's far greater than 6,000 parsa. So if you work out all, so if you work out Mitzrayim and Kush and all that, you'll see that the world is a lot greater than 6,000 parsa. To Yufta, that's a good question. Toshma, come here, tell me, Elio, Elio learned, so most people say Elio means Elio and of himself. The Chidor writes in Capital in Pedic, Lamed Beis there, that whenever it says Elio, the Gemara, all that, it's not Elio and Ovi. There were two Elios, Elio and Moira and Elio and Ovi. Anyway, and he said this is not Elio and Ovi. But anyway, he says that the entire world can sit under one star. The circumference of the area of a star is so great that the entire world sits under a star. I'll prove it to you. Teda. You can look at one star. We're talking about here, it must be the civilized world because they didn't have then the southern hemisphere. If you're going towards east, you're still under that star. If you're going towards the four different corners of the world, the star is still above you. That the entire world sits under one star. Under one star. So, what do you tell me that the world is only 6,000 parsecs? There's so many stars. So, therefore, obviously, the world is a lot greater than that. To Yufta is actually a good question. A good question. Then continue. Touch my learned. We have the different the constellation. So we have Egla Betzafa, and you have Taurus that's in the north, and the Akrav Bedarim, you have Scorpio, which is what in the south. And the entire civilized world is sitting between these two constellations. And the entire civilized world is only 1 hour of. One second. Says the Gemara, so the entire civilized world ain't ella habeshoachas. The entire civilized world is only is only 1 hour. What do you call it? What do you mean that the world is covered by the sun going on its orbit? Only 1 hour of sun. The sun covers the entire civilized world 1 hour in a day. What do you mean? Tell I'll prove it to you. You know, 11 o'clock the sun is one side, and 12 o'clock the sun is on the west side. For 1 hour, the world is the sun. Let's say 11 to 12:30, the sun is above everybody's head, in one place. Wherever you're standing, the sun is in the same place. So we see that, and that is an entire yishuv, and the sun travels for 12 hours, so the world is a lot greater than 6,000 parsecs, to Yufta. Exactly, it seems like we're talking about a civilized world, and everybody lived then around the Middle East area, so maybe you can say that the whole Middle East, more or less, everybody, even that is hard to understand. because there are different time zones. And I'm not exactly sure how this works. But anyway, the Gemara seems to be saying that everybody's standing under the sun at the same time, so the sun is only 1 hour. Or does the Gemara mean that wherever you are, there's only 1 hour the sun stands above you, wherever you are, and then there's still another 11 hours of the sun traveling? Okay, I'm not sure. So the Gemara further... okay. So the whole part is that the sun travels, it sounds like all the people are bunched together, the sun travels 12 times that of the Yeshiva Olam. And if the sun travels 12 times the Yeshiva Olam, it's much greater than 6,000 parsa. So you can go further. What response was there that the Basco that came out lo iser rosha to that rosha to Buchanetza b'shoshomer Buchanetza made the claim Ella I'm going to stand rise al bama say of I'm going to rise on the top of the clouds Adam ele elyon I'm going to compare myself to Koyochel Yotza Basco a voice came out v'omla and she said rosha ben rosha. You, Rasha, the son of a Rasha, Ben Benoit Shal Nimrod, a descendant of Nimrod Rasha, Shehem is called Kulay Olai, the Malchusa. He tried to get the whole world to rebel against me. Kamash Noisef Shal Adam, how many years does a person live? Shivim Shana, 70 years. You're so arrogant. The guy really lives long, he's 80 years. Shememet says, Yemesh Shana, same as Shivim Shana, person lives 70 years, Yibigvudah Shemesh Shana, and strength 80 years. Let me just tell you, you want to climb up the heavens. From the ground until the heaven takes 500 years of travel. So how are you going to get here? And the oival shall rikia, and each rikia, the thickness is 500 years. Ubein kol rikia rikia mahalachem, and between one rikia, the seven rikim, the thickness of each rikia is traveling 500 years, and then between each rikia another 500 years. Ubein kol rikia rikia ach, you know where you're going to end up, my friend? Ach el sheol turat. You are going to end up somewhere down in Gehenim, down on the bottom there, el yarkas ebor, to the depths of the pit. To Yuftu, we see that what the world is a lot greater than 6,000. Says the Gemara to Yuftu. So we're bringing so many kashas araba for stating that the orbit of the sun is 6,000 parsa, which is impossible. And they make cheshbonis that so according to this, the world is massive. How exactly do we understand it, even if we include the oceans and everything else, is very unclear. Anyway, talking about what we learned. We have another argument in this part of it. We don't understand. Chachma Yisrael Oimim, the machlekes and the Jewish astrologers or astronomers and the Goyisha. The Chachma Yisrael say, Galgul Kavua, there was an orbit that all these constellations or the zodiac signs was in the sky. They have this orbit. So the Galgul itself was fixed. Umazolos chayzin. But it's the mazolos, the zodiac signs that keep on moving around. And and the Chachmei Yisraelim and the Chachmei Yisraelim saying, no, Galgul chayzin, the orbit moves. Umazolos kvim. And these constellations are fixed in this orbit. Omar Rebbe Tshuva L'divrayim, I'll give you an answer to their words. Me'olam, really, like, we never find Egla Bedorim, we never find, in other words, Rebbe is actually supporting the Goyish Chachmum Me'olam. We never find Egla Bedorim, we never find that Taurus should be in the south, or Ekrav Betzafon, Skorpa should be in the north. So therefore, it proves that Chachmum Me'olam are right, that the mazolas are always fixed. So even though the orbit moves a little bit, the mazolas are always fixed, and that's why this is always north, and that's why Taurus is always north compared to, in ratio to, Scorpio. Maskiv lo Rav Acha ba Yaakov adin lo kibbutzin derechai, and maybe it's somehow or another, the knives of a mill, the blaze of a mill, and therefore they could turn, but they're still standing in one place. Or Yinam Bitsunay the Dasha, or a door that pivots on its own, and this, that screw over there in the door, the joint of the door. So therefore it's possible that the Chacham are right, that the orbit moves, but yet the mazolas are not moving out of shape. That the mazolos are moving, but the mazolos are moving, yet you want to know why it's not, we don't find that the galgul, that the Scorpio sometimes is north of Taurus, because they're not moving in a full circle, they're moving a little bit forward and back. And therefore, you'll never find Scorpio more north of Taurus. It doesn't prove either way. Chachma Yisrael, another argument. Chachma Yisrael say, B'yoyim, and during the day, Chama Mahaleches Lematam in Erekia. During the day, we have the sun that travels, you know, from east to west above our heads. U'balayla, where does the sun go at night? Lemailam in Erekia. At night, the sun doesn't go on the under the world, the sun goes above, higher up, and travels back from west to east, and then it goes through the Erekia and comes back here. That's what the Chachma Yisrael is saying. The Maram of Prague and others want to say this is all allegorical. It's not talking about at all what we're, you know, what we think, the sun and so on. The Chachmei Umas Olam, because remember the Tosfos says in Avodah Zarah, he brings from Yerushalmi, that Alexander, you know, realized that the world is actually a sphere, and he wanted to build himself a balloon that he can travel to go all around the world. In other words, they already knew, the Chachmei already knew the world was not flat. And because it sounds like, yeah, the world is flat, and the question is what happens to the sun at night. The Chachmei Yisrael already knew the world was a sphere, and therefore the sun went around the world. So what exactly is going on here is a ruchnizik of things. But nevertheless, you have to translate the way it is. The Chachmei Yisrael, I mean, no. During the day, the sun goes where we are, as we obviously, above our head. At night, it goes underneath the sphere of the world, or underneath the world. I actually agree with the Chachmei Umas HaOlam rather than Chachmei Yisrael, and I'll prove it to you. During the day, the springs actually are cold water, even though the sun, you know, is baking the water, yet the water is cold. But Balayla, at night, you can actually see steam coming out of the springs. And why is that? Because at night the sun is under the ground, therefore it's closer to the water than to us. So that's why at night the waters actually warm up. In the summer, In the summer, the sun is much further from the earth than the winter. The winter, the sun is a lot closer, but on different angles, so therefore it doesn't heat us up. So in the summer, the sun is in the height far away from the world. The entire world is warm, but my compared, but the waters are cold. In the winter, the sun is much closer. But on different angles, so therefore we're cold. But because they're closer to the earth and to the ends of the earth, that's where it's warming up, and there are the sources of all the springs, and that's why the springs are warmer. Four different trails that the Chama travels in. Nissan Ir Vesivan Mahalech is traveling above the mountains, and the purpose is Kedela Fasha Shlugin to melt all the snow and the ice caps on the mountains. Tamuz of the El in the northern summers, Mahalech is Begishur travels above everybody in the civilized world, Kedela Vasha Lapedas, to make sure that the fruits ripen. Tishrei Marchesh from the Kistin Mahalech is Beyam over the seas, Kedela Yavish as Hanhoris, to dry out the rivers. Tevis Shvatva Odr Mahaleches Bamiba travels out in the wilderness. Shloili Yavish as Zroim. We don't want it to dry the Zroim, so therefore it's cold everywhere in the civilized world because the sun is found in the deserts. Okay, that ends that particular sugya. Rabbi Lezer says, if you find yourself outside of the Azorah, you already are exempt. Afa Gav the Motzi Ail. All you have to do is take a step and go in. The loy amrina lay, even though he could enter, we do not say kum ayil. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like you're standing right by the azorah. All you have to do is take your foot and put in the azorah. You're not over because you never entered inside. Is that the way it is? But Tanya, we learned Yehudi odl. Yehudi was not circumcised. Shalei mol, who did not bother circumcise himself erev Pesach on his kodesh. In other words, you have a chiv to put yourself in a situation to be able to do the mitzvah. You're right, an odl is exempt from Pesach, but you have no right to remain in odl. Do something to make sure that you eliminate the odl. So how come if all you are is one footstep away outside of the Azorah, we say, oh, you weren't in Azorah, you're potter. Why don't you have a chiv to put yourself in a situation? You should be chayiv. Again, the same thing we just said before. We learned in the Gemara, yesterday's Gemara. Derech lechoike, yesterday's blot. The Torah clearly says when it comes to the distance, there's only one criteria. If you happen to be a distant place, you have no obligation to make yourself closer because you have an option called Pesach Sheni. And we don't have find that by Tomei. An Oral is like a Tomei, even though he's not Tomei, he's an Oral, but the same idea like a Tomei. And a Tomei has to make sure that they don't stay Tomei, and a Tomei and so on. And therefore, the same thing in Oral, you have to make sure you can eliminate it. There's no excuse there. But by Derech Rechoike, all the Torah says is if you're Derech Rechoike, I don't care what, why, when, you are potter. Yeah. So, interesting, there's a whole discussion, places in Shabbos. If there's a person, you know, do we have a chiyuv to put ourselves in a situation to be chayiv in mitzvahs? We bring a ray from Moshe Rabbeinu. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu want to go to Israel? The Gemara Saita says, he think v'chilechum b'priya, he wanted to go to eat the fruits of Israel. He wanted to be in Israel so he can do mitzvahs. So we see that there's an obligation to try to put yourself in a situation to be chayiv in mitzvahs, like tzitzis. The Torah doesn't say that you have to, if you wear a four-cornered garment, then you put on tzitzis. But says Tesis, we have an obligation to make sure we're wearing a four-cornered garment so we can fulfill the mitzvah of the Torah. And we see it right here. An odol or a tummy, they have an obligation to make sure that they're not an odol, they're not a tummy. And Derech L'Chayk is an exception where the Torah clearly says that if he happens to be outside of the base of Mikdash, according to his opinion, he is potter. That's what the Torah says. You have no chiv to put you in a situation. That's what the Torah clearly says. You have an option of Pesach Sheni. But when it comes to tummy, it has nothing to do with distance. It has to do with the fact that you cannot eat. Then, and same thing by oral. Then you have to make sure that you don't become, you're not allowed to tummy yourself in order to avoid doing Pesach, and you know, Pesach Rishon and so on. Says the Gemara. Rav Omer, Rav said, in fact, he's a machlekes. Tanya, Rav Blazer says, Nemar. It says in the pasuk. Regarding this, what Abelazar said, it says the pasuk Nema Richuk Morgan Pesach Richuk Maisa. Where else do you find the idea of being far away, either by Pesach by Maisa? Also, if you're far away, you don't have to bring the fruits; you just bring, you transfer to money. What's the definition of far away? That you're outside of the place where you eat. I've kind of here too. Chutz lachilase, outside the place you eat. So where's the place where you eat from by Korban Pesach? Yerushalayim. So therefore, it's a question whether you're outside of Yerushalayim or not. In other words, if you're outside Yerushalayim, you're exempt. But if you're outside of the Beis HaMikdash, then you have a chiyuv to put yourself in a situation to be chayiv. Go in. It's only if you're outside Yerushalayim that you are potter. And Rabbi Yehuda Ben Moshe Blazer, chutz lasi yosei. And he said in Rabbi Blazer, no. If you are outside of the place where you're not where you eat, but where you're actually making the Korban Pesach, which is in the Azorah, then you are exempt. According to who goes, so we see two opinions in whether you have to bring yourself to the situation to be into the base of Midrash or not. When you look at Tameim, you look at the majority of people who are actually in the Zorah, and if the majority of people there are Tamei, we say we push off the Pesach Sheni, even though there might be most people outside the base of Midrash are tired. But all we look at is the activity of the Korban Pesach there. How many people are Tamer Tor? So he says, who says that? Command the base of Yehudah Amos Rabbi Lezer. You look at the place of making the Korban Pesach, not the place of eating. Just finished the Gemara. Amr Rabbi Lezer Leficha. Therefore, that's a Zerachayka and a dot on it to tell you that not so far away, just outside the Zorah. Tani Leglolima Derech Shemei Ani Mahalach Shnayim Shosh Yom. I would have thought that if you're far away, maybe 2 or 3 days distance. Kishoyim. It says of a Derech Loihoya. It says of a derech, you were not on the road. Anywhere. The fact is that to call the Torah doesn't say how far. When it says derech, it doesn't say how far away you are. It just says you were not on the road. So as long as you're not where the Korban Pesach is outside of the Azorah, you already are exempt. Korah derech, he called derech. But we paskin like the Mandomer says, Maidim, 15 kilometers, and that's why many rabbanim say, according to those who hold that you have to bring Korban Pesach today, that every Pesach, right before Chatzos, you should leave Yerushalayim, and we follow the Rambam that says the main criteria is, were you there in the beginning? So you just come back after Chatzos, and then you are potter from a Korban Pesach. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow in Mitzvah Hashem.